Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus mentioned forgiveness twice. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors, and if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This forgiveness from the Father to which Jesus referred is the forgiveness that affects fellowship within God's family, not the forgiveness that leads to salvation. Please listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his teaching on the importance of forgiving one another.
Take note, beloved, that the only point the Lord emphasizes twice in this model prayer is what? The necessity of forgiving one another. The forgiveness from the Father that Jesus speaks of here is the forgiveness that affects our fellowship within the family of God, not the forgiveness that leads unto salvation. And thus, our understanding of biblical forgiveness is vital to maintaining personal and congregational health. If we refuse to allow the God-breathed Word of God to convict us, challenge us, and correct the incorrect ways that we think and behave and interact with one another, how in the world do you and I expect to have a healthy, meaningful relationship with Jesus and one another? How do we expect to share what it means to be forgiven to those who are lost if we do not apply the biblical teaching of forgiveness with one another? It's senseless. It's just words. If you've been a Bible-believing Christian for any length of time, you know that we cannot seriously talk about forgiveness without referring to Jesus' parable about forgiveness in Matthew chapter 18. It's not going to be on the screen, but I'm going to read you these words. Peter came to him, this is following his teaching on forgiveness, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, but forasmuch as he had nothing to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants, saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because you desired me. Should not you also have had compassion on a fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth. That's the King James. He is angry. And delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? You see, Peter thought that he would impress Jesus by saying up to seven times, for the traditional rabbinic teaching was that a person who was hurt, wounded, or offended only needed to forgive a brother up to three times. But Jesus said that we are not to forgive just seven times, but 70 times seven, or 490 times. And by saying 70 times seven, Jesus meant that no limits should be set. And to drive home this truth, he tells this parable. A man owed an unpayable debt to his king. The king freely forgave him his entire debt. Having had his enormous debt forgiven, this same servant immediately turned around and demanded repayment of a much smaller debt from a fellow servant who begged for mercy. So what is Jesus teaching here? Jesus teaches us here that forgiving others is a matter of remembering how much God has forgiven us. The Lord was teaching that forgiving others ought to be in direct proportion to the amount we ourselves have been forgiven. The first servant had been forgiven all by God, and he should have forgiven the person that asked him for forgiveness. A child of God has had all their sins forgiven by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, when someone sins against us, we ought to forgive from the heart, no matter how many times the act occurs. And we'll get into this a little bit more in Luke chapter 17. The teaching of Jesus could not be clearer. Our Lord Jesus has given specific instruction in numerous passages of Scripture, all of which could be summed up in just one word: forgive. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 25, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone," anything? What does that mean? Against anyone? Who's that? No, don't get quiet on me. Don't become illiterate. Anything, anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. Luke 6:37, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." And yet our flesh is always looking for loopholes. The old vaudeville comedian W.C. Fields had a serious drinking problem. He had destroyed his liver, but near the end of his life, his doctor told him he could have one drink a day. So some friends came and visited him in the hospital, and he had a jug this big. And he said, "Well, the doc says I can only have one drink a day." And I found a loophole. And in spite of the clear, no wiggle room teachings of Jesus on the subject of forgiveness, many people try to find some loophole or excuses for why their situation is unique or different. And because of that, they are bound this morning in the vice grips of bitterness, resentment, revenge, and unforgiveness. When it comes to forgiving others, God has not qualified one sin as being more grievous to him than another. And he has not qualified one sin committed against us as warranting forgiveness and not another. For example, God is not saying if a person lies to you or steals from you, you should forgive him. But if they abuse you or harm your child, you can hold on to unforgiveness. Anything, anyone. Again, don't misunderstand the difference between forgiveness with reconciliation and restoration. Two separate things. Jesus called the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, what? What did he call him? Wicked. And what did he do? He delivered him unto the tormentors. Jesus did not say, send him to hell. Jesus is saying that unforgiveness is equivalent to the torment of living in hell on earth. Beloved, to not forgive is wicked, and the refusal to forgive will torment your thoughts, your emotions. It will affect, as we'll see in a moment, your health, and it will seriously affect your fellowship with the Lord and your prayer life. And know this, the unwillingness to forgive gives Satan a stronghold in your life. I'm going to read some passages that will not be on the screen, but in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11, we read, "To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." There are many people in the body of Christ who have a twisted view of the Christian life and the teaching of forgiveness that exempts them from the clear consequences of sinful behavior or biblical warnings. We have to forgive. In Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 6, Jesus speaking again. Nobody talked more about forgiveness than Jesus. He said, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And the apostle said unto the Lord, what I would say, increase my faith. Now, if you read the opening verses of chapter 17, you will see that not only does Jesus teach us as his followers that we are to avoid doing anything whereby we would be a cause of stumbling to others, he also teaches us to counter sinful behavior of others against us by how? Forgiving them. If your brother sinned against you, rebuke him. If he repents, he is to be forgiven. If he does it seven times in a day, once every 3 hours and 42 minutes. So I offend my brother Paul, and at midnight, I say, "Paul, forgive me." "You're forgiven, Ray." Then at 3:45 in the morning, I've done it again. "Paul, I'm sorry. Forgive me." At 7:30 that morning, I've done it again. "Paul, forgive me." Now, I can tell you what Paul would want to do. Want to get me by the throat. 7 times. Now, the number 7, of course, and I want to get into this too much this morning, is the number of completeness. In other words, we have to forgive from our heart completely. The response of the apostle to these words of Jesus on forgiveness was, increase our faith. So what is needed to forgive? Faith in God. The just shall live by faith. And Jesus goes on in Luke 17 to talk about, all we need is a mustard seed of faith. A mustard seed of faith in the Lord's ability to forgive in me and through me. There is amazing power that God releases when we are willing vessels who submit to him. Now, it's very important that we understand that forgiveness does not mean that you condone the sin or offense against you as acceptable. Jesus, in no way, shape, or form, is encouraging irresponsible behavior on the part of the offender. Jesus is teaching us the importance of reflecting gospel-centered forgiveness. Not one amen? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught us to love our enemies. Bless them that curse you. Gulp. Do good to them that hate you. Check, please. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute. In other words, the faith that we have been given is radical. It's not of this world. So what do you and I do when someone hurts us, offends us, or wounds us every 3 hours and 42 minutes? The answer, look up at Jesus on the cross. Even as Jesus forgave you, so also do ye. In Mark 11, I mentioned this verse earlier, verses 25 and 26 we read, "And when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." A condition of effectual, fervent prayer is a forgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit will short-circuit the power of prayer in your life. It would be like swimming or running in a race with ankle weights on. And once again, remember that God only forgives us. He only forgives us for Christ's sake. It's not because we're deserving. That's the gospel. And if we are going to walk in the power of a gospel-centered life, then it is vital for us to forgive as we've been forgiven. Now, the Lord is the great physician. And many people fail to understand that there is a connection between unforgiveness and their physical, mental, and emotional condition. What many people fail to understand is that they are ruining their health, their emotional health, some cases their mental health, by holding on to the poison of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. It's not good for you. It's not good for you. It's not good for me. When you release the wrongdoer from the wrong, you cut a malignant tumor out of your inner life. You set a prisoner free, but you discover that the prisoner was you. I said it in the past. Pastor Ben said it last week, and I'll say it again. To hold on to grudges, bitterness, or unforgiveness is like drinking poison and thinking the other person's going to die. We are the ones who suffer most when we choose not to forgive. And when we do forgive from our heart, the Lord sets us free from the painful effects of anger and bitterness and resentment and revenge that have imprisoned us. Whom the Son sets free. Let me read one more section, Luke chapter 7, verses 41 through 43. "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon, the Pharisee, answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." Isn't it amazing that when Jesus would ask these legalists a question, most of the time the response was right and they hung themselves? "Well, I suppose it's he that was forgiven most." And he said unto him, "You have rightly judged." The teaching of Jesus reminds us that no sinner can pay the debt of sin owed to God. No matter how small, no matter how large. God forgives every sinner who turns to Christ all of their sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Now, follow this. The woman who Simon called a sinner was formerly a prostitute. And she had placed faith for forgiveness on Jesus Christ. Jesus told her that her faith saved her, not her love. Her love was an expression of her faith that had experienced the reality of being forgiven. Jesus went on to say, "Those who love much are people who realize how much they've been forgiven." So when you and I see people that are Christians and they just seem to be filled with the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, they've grasped the gospel. Amen. What is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love. What is the great commandment? Love. What's the fulfillment of the law? Love. Love covers, not covers up, a multitude of sins. So you tell me, is forgiveness important? So what must I do? First, I must decide. You will never forgive if you wait until you feel like it. Forgiveness is a matter of submitting your heart, your mind, and your emotions to God. You must choose to obey God, and He will give you the power to steadfastly resist the devil in his attempts to keep you drinking the poison of revenge or bitter thoughts. You decide, I will forgive 70 times 7. How? You look to the cross. The daily sight of a bleeding, groaning Savior on the cross saying, forgive them, is all the reason you need to forgive others. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. As I stated at the outset of our study this morning, forgiveness is both vertical and horizontal. The first and most important aspect of forgiveness is vertical. Our need of forgiveness from God is so enormous because the debt that we owe Him, we cannot pay. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, how? According to the riches of His grace. For those among us who are yet outside of Christ, this is the forgiveness that you need this morning. Salvation is a free gift from God that is received by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And though there may indeed be human consequences of sin and for sin, once we are born into the family of God, the debt, the guilt, and the condemnation for our sin is totally removed. And I wonder how many of you this morning would say to me, yes, Pastor Ray, I need such forgiveness from God. That's you? Would you raise your hand? Wow. Lord, forgive us. Have mercy on us. We've sinned against You and You alone. But here's the one that we probably wrestle with the most. Has God forgiven you for your sins through faith in Jesus Christ? Yes. Raise your hand. Come. Yes, yes, yes. If so, then you and I must be forgiving. And if you are having trouble forgiving someone that has offended you, wronged you, or hurt you, look to the cross. And here it is. The daily sight of a bleeding, groaning, dying Savior forgiving you is the only reason that you need to mortify the sin of unforgiveness towards others. So if you're having trouble forgiving, meditate on your own forgiveness this morning. The bread that you will be given and the cup that you will be given are to remind you and me that God has not forgiven us because we deserved it any more than He commands us to forgive someone else because he or she deserves it. It's not a matter of being right or wrong, it's a matter of being obedient. And when we get that in our heart, it will set us free. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys. Unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.